Listen, do you know your D8s from your D12s? Do you know your modifiers from your bonuses? Do you know your destiny points from your story points? Do you have any idea what I'm talking about? Either way, you should check out What Am I Rolling? A twice-monthly RPG one-shot podcast. Catch up on previous episodes on the What Am I Rolling website, that's www.wairpodcast.com, or wherever you listen to podcasts. Remember, adventurers need not apply.
Life's a game, the world's a stage, and we are merely roleplayers. We're theatrical people play role-playing games. I'm Matt Boothman, and I've been your compere for this main house production, and I'm joined backstage once again by the cast of that production.
Hi, I'm Chris Starkey, and I played Cameron Jarvis, the Wronged.
Hello, I'm Ellen Gould, and I play Jess Butterworth, the Spooky.
Hello, my name is Alexander Pankhurst, and I play Graham, the Summoned.
And wow.
Oh my god.
Literally went some places and also metaphorically went some places.
Mm-hmm. Oy vey.
But before we get into that, before we get too deep into the weeds of things, we've got some questions to ask that might get you all some more XP.
Yay, points.
And jump off these for discussion as well, obviously. We don't just want this to be a tick box exercise.
But I like to tick
boxes. Don't mark anything yet. We need to see how many of these we answer yes to.
We've got our pencils so poised, yeah. It's incredible.
Everyone wants the XP. Question number one, did you conclude the current mystery?
Yes.
Yeah. Current mystery started with some ghouls are coming to... Don't tick anything off.
No, I just really want to. I'm just going to make a little doodle for myself. There.
Current mystery started with some ghouls are coming to kidnap Jess and Kit and take them to Clarissa and Milton, and you have resolved that in so many ways. Did you save someone from certain death or worse?
Yes.
Yeah. You saved Kit.
You did save Kit.
Yeah.
You saved
Clarissa.
Jess.
Yep.
Yeah.
You arguably saved Ernie. A lot of Ernie Patel. I don't know. Well, I don't.
We left him in a burning cave.
Wait. Just because we left him there earlier on, saved him. We saved him from Cam earlier.
Yeah. You did save him from Cam.
So, I'm
that's true.
That
and you've arguably saved everybody that Clarissa and Milton might have kidnapped in the future for their typing pool from probably a fate worse than death.
Yep.
So that's two yeses so far. Did we learn something new and important about the world?
Oof, I think so, yes.
Yeah. I think various.
Yeah. Various.
Anyone got
things.
Specifics they want to talk about?
Avalon's a pub.
Yeah.
It was cool.
I am the dragon. Behold my fiery wrath.
We've seen Fairyland, like we alluded to it plenty of times, but we didn't, nobody had been there and we didn't know exactly what it was like.
Yeah. And none of us thought it'd be a rave.
We also got that Ernie is actively trying. He wants the Missions Effect to be reinstated.
Back in place.
Yeah, he wanted to happen. Yeah,
it gives you a good hint at the Department of Emissions Doom's agenda in all of this.
Lots.
Various new and important things.
That's probably three ticks to it by itself, that one, man.
Yeah, that's three yeses. Did we learn something new and important about any of the hunters?
I think so. Well,
we've already mentioned Graham's various signs of the apocalypse. Graham is the great dragon.
Yeah,
as well
red
as the forgetful.
Sun. As the forgetful. He's a big red sun, grateful, forgetful dragon thing.
Out of curiosity, how many little boxes do you have left before you destroy everything?
Cuatro.
Four?
So you had one coming into this, is that right?
Yep.
You had one ticked and now you've got...
Three.
Three more ticked.
Oh my goodness.
No, I only ticked two in this session.
Oh, okay, right.
Okay.
You don't even have any of the, like, apart from Freakish, where you can tick luck to make somebody accept you, you don't even have any of the summoned moves that make you use luck.
No.
Still.
Sure.
It's impressive.
Yeah.
That's good. Because he rolled so badly.
Incredible. Okay, well, to finish off the admin, that is four yeses, which means mark two experience each.
Ooh. One away from a level up, I feel baby. Like
we leveled up a lot. I know Cameron leveled up twice. Right in scene one.
Yeah.
And then another and time again, within the second.
At the very
second.
End, yeah. Okay. And I rolled poorly at the end.
Right, and so what does that leave you on now?
I've got one box left.
One box left until you level up again.
I leveled up but didn't take anything mid, okay. And I've got another one. Now.
Oh, amazing. So you got two improvements that you're owed.
I only leveled up the once, took absolute badass, which means that I'm tough plus three.
Amazing.
And then I'm one away from another experience, but that's because I didn't fail that much.
Mm-hmm. And has everybody now advanced at least three times?
Yes.
Right.
So advanced improvements are on the table for everybody.
Yeah.
Which have some powerful things and also some sort of character arc ending things if you wanted to start working towards that sort of thing. Because by default in Monster of the Week, the end of your character's story is you use all your luck, you get doomed, and you probably die in combat.
Mm-hmm.
Unless you use one of the advanced improvements to retire your character to safety, in which case you get a happy ending.
Hmm.
If you've changed the hunter,
yeah.
Do they keep the same amount of...
I'll need to double check that, but I believe the rules are you keep you keep all of your spent luck spent.
Yeah.
And you sort of make a decision about each of your moves. Was this something that is a fundamental part of who I am, or was it just something I was doing for a while?
Right.
Leave aside any of the ones that you were just doing for a while and take more from the new playbook.
Oh, right. Okay.
But we'll look into that and look at what the... If you want to go that route, we'll look at what the rules say.
Chris, were you hoping for some sort of never-ending hunter?
I'm not far off.
And of course, the context of all of this is that Cameron had a nemesis and... You know, ghouls still exist, and ghouls are the thing that Cameron gets all his wronged bonuses for. But that one ghoul,
he's done.
He's right.
Destroyed in the space between realms outside of Avalon.
It's pretty heavy, man.
Mm-hmm.
It's great.
Yeah.
Very, just fucking awesome, really.
We did that whole backstage episode about ghouls and fleshing out what we wanted, that making sure that this was an appropriate nemesis for your character. And I didn't want it to just be a knockdown, we keep rolling and you keep doing harm to it until it dies. And those first couple of things that you did to it before it even took you out of Fairyland and into Avalon, you'd half killed it already.
Right.
This thing could not stand up to all of your bonuses, so it needed to do something more psychological.
It was amazing.
Try and break you instead.
Almost did.
Yeah.
Gosh.
That was intense.
It was powerful, man.
Yeah.
I think the line was when it said, "Yes, but I feel scared," or something. It was "Well, why the hell would Cameron care what you feel?" And that was the thing that sort of snapped him out of the funk of... Probably about to give up. I think he's about to give up, honestly.
Yeah.
And then he said, and I feel scared. It's like, well, go fuck yourself, bitch. What do you mean you feel scared? Yeah, it's amazing. Yeah.
It's all stuff that you've set up. It's like the stone around Cameron's neck that's part of the thing that he beat this thing with. The idea that by causing it to feel fear, even though it's a thing that is made of fear, you've, taught it new tricks, and that is kind of a fundamental part of it now. And I mean, it got intense, and we were like, I'm glad that you were kind of ultimately comfortable with it.
Yeah.
But the naming the weapons after your family just gave such an avenue for this thing / I'm not going to abdicate responsibility for me to cause emotional distress.
Yeah, definitely. No, it was amazing. It was so good.
Mm.
That was wonderful.
And pretty intense to play, I'm not going to lie. But I hope you made some good listening, made some good drama.
Yeah.
And it was a great, great baddie, Because when you've got someone, it's like Superman, right?
Yeah.
You can't just have a person for Superman to punch.
Uh-huh.
You've got someone that he's going to either overcome psychologically or think his way through.
Yeah.
And I think for Cameron, he could basically beat... Well, he can literally beat anyone. Like, not, he can kill anything. They might kill him too, but he can kill everything. So, yeah, you had to do something to mess him up. And, you nearly did it. I was on the verge of, Cameron's probably going to quit if he thinks he's doomed his family to a a living hell.
Yeah. It's a really interesting sort of nemesis dynamic as well, because it is not after you. No. Like, at no point was the Harlequin, the Stranger, like the various names it's had, at no point was it hunting you down. It's always you hunting it down while it like pursues its various agendas, which are mostly about like attaching itself to the plans of bigger, more powerful things so that it doesn't have to be scared of them. Right?
Gotcha.
But obviously, I have to keep bringing it into your orbit.
Yeah, absolutely. I was definitely hunting it.
Mm.
And yeah.
Yeah.
He's gone.
Yeah. And we sort of had to wait till the sort of later end of the adventure to get that very intense emotional thing with Cam. But then we went straight out of the gate with the intense emotional stuff with Jess and Kit.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, I completely forgot about that.
Yeah, it feels like a different day again.
It wasn't really Kit, but it had to be kind of believable enough.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
That was horrible. I was like, yeah, what's going on?
It wasn't
so
nice.
No. Yeah.
So there is a... You and Kit are owed a conversation at some point because it's like the fact that Jess believed that was Kit says something, even though it wasn't.
Says a lot about her attitude towards him at the moment, but also that is exactly what Jess's biggest fear would be, that the people that she thinks are her friends are actually only interested in her because of Kit. It was like, oh, ouch, no. yeah, really well done. Really
awesome.
Well done.
It was interesting trying to be like a slightly penitent Kit who is like grateful that you saved him from being kidnapped and from what was going on there, but also trying to still lean on the dark bargains and the bad impulses and all of that, especially once luck starts getting thrown around.
It's complex.
Yeah. yeah, it's tough. But I think it comes from... It's an interesting contrast. We didn't really see it contrasted specifically at any point in that adventure, but of the ghouls being driven by fear and Kit being driven by like anger and hate. You know, he had a very bad experience in Fairyland and in the depot, but he's not scared of those places. He wants to destroy them.
Yep.
Deep man.
Graham just had a good old time. You know, lots of signs of the apocalypse.
An adventure for Graham.
It was. I do really enjoy that about Graham, is you turn up, you play him, and you get to hit things, burn things, generally be... Yeah, it's just really good fun.
Yeah. If the fight with the Harlequin had ended up being more of a group effort, I did have things that it was going to try and scare you with. But they were mostly... Did I forget something in the Inferno? Yeah.
Mostly be like, did you leave the oven on? Oh, no!
I had a vague plan of like... Because one of its powers was like it could make you see that it can manifest things from your fears. So there was some of the stuff, like one way Avalon could have gone is that like your family really tried to, it showed you visions of your family as it wanted to do before you got to see them really.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And similarly with Graham, if it had managed to attack you, it might have had you like in this kind of vision loop of constantly walking into rooms and forgetting why you came in.
Yeah, and just being like, what? Huh?
Which seems what? So much more mundane than like your family covered in axe wounds, but what would...
Hey, for Graham, that's a serious thing. Admin is... Yeah. Phew, life and death. Like... Yeah, do you know what I mean?
And that was a mechanical thing with the Harlequin as well, is that it had to hurt you before it could do that.
Okay.
So if you somehow managed to stay away from it and not get stabbed at any point, it couldn't have done any of that to you.
I wasn't really in the mood for staying away from it.
Nah. I was sort of counting on that.
Yeah, amazing. The train sequence as well was just awesome. I loved that train bit. I just feel like we had so many like, little... sections to this.
Lovely little vignette.
Yeah.
Ernie's are such a loose end.
Oh, man.
Oh my god.
Yeah, where has he gone? We don't know. We haven't covered that.
Stabbed him in the leg and left him in a crack in the wall in Fairyland.
Yeah.
In a burning cave.
Yeah.
It's a warm crack in the wall.
And they left all those emission effect typists just typing away in a burning cave.
Yep. In a burning cave.
Yeah, but you had to get out of there.
Mm-hmm. We did.
You needed a hot exit.
Yes, quite.
It was quite warm.
Yeah, oh, the whole thing was just awesome, man. Yeah. As ever.
Yeah.
Incredible short-circuiting. Obviously, this was this is actually similar to the previous mystery in that there were technically two monsters in it. Right? So Clarissa and Milton are statted up as a monster, and the Harlequin was also statted up as a monster. So kind of defeating either of them is kind of the win condition.
Right.
But nice. You totally, through a series of good investigating type roles, like sharp type roles, which we didn't think this we didn't think this group was going to be good at the investigating side of things, but it was through setting up various investigations throughout the mystery that you just totally short-circuited having to fight Clarissa and Milton, who are really tough. They have lots of like as we saw in All Aboard, like, because Milton does psychic stuff, your armor does nothing.
You're right, sure, yeah, yeah, of course.
You can just be like scrambling your brain pan from a distance. So not fighting them face on and doing some magic to just split them and completely short circuit their power was a totally great decision.
Hey, woohoo! Good decisions, guys.
Yay, we did it right.
Well, I mean, I ran off by myself, but well done, guys. It's a really good job.
You came back at the
I'm so glad you did, though. It wouldn't have been the same if you hadn't. It wouldn't have been a Cameron thing if you hadn't done that.
Mm-hmm. Not
the only way it could have been different is if Graham and Jess had followed, not if you hadn't done it.
Right? Yes.
I was so torn. I was like, do we follow, do we not? It's just like...
There was a point, dear listener, where Alex and I were just staring at each other in like mutual...
fear and just sort of like completely paralysed as to what to do, being like, someone's got to make a decision and neither of us are going to do it. Are we nodding now? Yeah, we're nodding. Let's do the thing.
It's like finding stuff out. It's like, is Graham a stick to the mission sort of person? Like, if Graham's decided this is what we've come here to do, will Graham do that or will Graham switch mid-flow?
And that's that was the weird thing, was actually trying to decide whether or not Graham would, and just be like, what should I do?
I presume Cameron and the Harlequin vanishing probably made your mind up for you.
I mean, that did very much, again, helpfully. Yeah.
But you already made the decision at that point not to jump over with them.
Yeah, good point.
True, yeah.
You just saw that as you'd already started heading where you were going.
But I mean, I'm pretty sure you did too. Just had sort of like half an eye on what was going on, being like, if we have to run back, then we can. And then you disappeared, and we were like, well, that ship.
For me, at the back of my mind, is like, what possible help can Jess be in the kind of fight that Cameron is going to get into? Like, I'm just going to be in the way. I'm just going to be collateral damage. Like,
we established
the knife.
I think off air we established. Jess doesn't have a gun anymore because she left it in the depot.
Yep.
So it's literally just a big knife. It's a knife that does one harm.
One harm.
No.
Oh my word.
Yeah.
Yeah. My sword does four. Like that is such a wild difference. Yeah.
I'm not fighty.
No. I could have given you a magnum. They're like, do you want a magnum?
Oh, lovely.
Well, it's not a real magnum, though.
Oh, yeah, it's not a real magnum. I can't give my weapons to anyone because they're just kind of me shooting weird plasma and stuff.
I'm just holding your tentacles. Yeah. I'm not okay with this.
No, I'm good, thank
you. I'm not okay with this.
So how do we think the events of this mystery affect like your character's priorities? Like, how they like Jess went into this being like, I'm on the outs with Kit. I'm trying to like tap into my own power so I can be so powerful on my own merits. Cameron was obviously like single-minded, wanted to go to Fairyland to kill this ghoul. Graham bimbling along.
I was there for the ride, so I didn't have any.
it makes Graham so interesting because you don't often have a dog in the fight.
Mm.
So, but which makes your decisions interesting.
Because it's like, what's he going to do? Why has he done that?
Yeah.
Why are you even here, like, helping us? Do you know what I mean?
Just because. Something to do, isn't it?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, it lets you learn about humans.
Yes.
Sheridan's where you live.
Yeah.
You don't want it to get destroyed by monsters.
And, that's you kind of, like, wander your way in.
Yeah, but as the as the signs of the apocalypse are building up, does that change anything for Graham, or is Graham still in denial?
Can it be both? Can there be small elements of something's definitely happening here? And also, probably all right.
It'd be really interesting to see who you end up with next, because there are certainly other hunters, other player characters who have made it an agenda of theirs to be like, oh, there's this prophecy about Graham causing the apocalypse. We should do something about that. So yeah. Maybe if you're with somebody yep. who is a bit more proactive about that themselves,
they'll be like, "What are you doing? What are you doing? Don't be using that luck." And I'll be like,
"What do you mean there was a red disco ball? This book says
shiny disco ball."
Whereas we're all very much quite luck heavy. I feel like we're quite, you know, if you want to do something, then do it.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. What about Jess? Has Jess's sort of priorities changed?
I think not changed. I think she's got, having had the experience in this one of Kit being a little bit more controlled, not necessarily by her, but much more by the magic that Graham did. She's like, okay, this is much more of a dynamic that I prefer. So yeah, I think she's going to be doubling down on that.
Can I learn to do that thing, Graham?
Yeah.
Take up smoking. Smoking's good, kid.
Which is going to be interesting because, like I say, there is a conversation you're owed when you next get a quiet moment with Kit about what, you know, what the implications are for your relationship, that you believed that he might cuckoo you, how he feels about the fact that you would believe that of him, all of that kind of stuff. But also, you spent enough luck in this session that the dark bargains and the impulse control are going to be going overdrive next time.
Oh,
Kit is going to want some stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And the big one to talk about is priorities for Cam.
I think he's completely changed. I'm not sure he's the wronged anymore, to be fair.
This is going to be so frustrating for Ginny and Gwyn, who made it their mission to be like, we have to keep an eye, and Renko, who were all like, Cam needs close supervision from responsible adults to make sure he doesn't do anything stupid and impulsive and like go off killing people and that kind of thing. And he went off with the possessed goth teenager and the irresponsible demon accountant and solved all of his problems without Gwyn or Ginny or Renko having anything to do with it. They needed to take their hands off the wheel and then it all sorted itself out.
I know Vicky will genuinely be annoyed by that.
No, but they had influence on you before this, a great deal, right? Right.
Jess was a big influence this time round.
And I hadn't thought about it, I don't think, beforehand, but it came out really clearly when Cam and the Harlequin were talking, we were role-playing out that conversation, that is the difference. Like, when the Harlequin's trying to do the whole we're not so different, you and I, villain talk, the thing that really does make Cam different from the Harlequin is that Cam has allowed himself to form relationships and to not necessarily always take their advice, but to listen and take in when they tell him he should be going down a different path.
Yeah.
Right? Even if he disagrees with them in the moment, it was clear that all of the stuff they'd said was bubbling in his head somewhere.
I think Cameron's going to have to change. I don't think he's the wronged anymore. I don't know.
Incredible.
Oh my God.
I think we're going to have to look at something else for him.
Big upheavals in Vigil lately.
Yeah.
People change retiring characters and changing playbooks and all sorts.
Yeah, then I'm going to have to have a long, hard think about this. just see where we go.
I think your character should probably be a lot older. Because I don't think we've seen enough of old man Starkey recently.
What, mini role players? Mini role players history?
No. You've had a history of playing very young,
you're right,
sprightly energetic characters.
You're right. Yeah,
we want to hear some proper like.
Where's the variety?
Yeah.
Oh, sorry, I just stretch myself. Yeah. I don't know, man. I don't know what I'm going to do. I've loved playing Cameron, like as is.
Yeah.
But I don't know where to take him anymore. And unless you,
I feel like it's inevitable with the wronged, right? Because the whole thing with the wronged is like, if you're the keeper and you've got a player who is the wronged, you got to keep bringing up the whatever it's called, the prey.
The prey.
I keep wanting to say favored enemy. That's a D&D thing.
Yeah.
You have to keep bringing up the prey, otherwise they're not getting full benefit out of the playbook. But when every mystery turns into the wronged pursues their prey, like, there's only so many sessions you can get out of that.
Absolutely,
before it becomes one note, right? So it's good to change.
Yeah.
Are you excited to change?
Yeah, excited, a little bit sad. I mean, of course, you could just chuck in another monster that does something awful.
Of course.
And I can change my prey.
Yeah, we can just, you know, kill one of the player characters, or like Jess's mum and dad, or
excuse me, mummy.
Well, I know that they're related.
Just one, the entire extended family.
She's right here. Yeah.
I just killed Jess. That's fine.
Stunning.
I like your rationale for that as well. They're related, yeah. So they can all die. Because that's how I work. I'm Matthew Bothman.
I'm the keeper.
That is one thing, actually. I noted to myself, being back in the room with everyone, having done like remote recordings, is I have missed like the visceral glee that comes off Matt when you fail a role. It's like, yes!
I get to fuck with them!
But it's like, that's... like the feeling that you all get when you're like, I'm going to do a cool move that I've taken from my playbook. I get that feeling when you fail and I'm allowed to do my thing.
Mm-hmm. That makes sense.
I mean, it's fine. It's just that all of ours are for good and yours are predominantly for evil. And I just wonder if that says an awful lot about you as a person, Matt.
We have done a lot of psychological cross-examining of your characters. It's only turnabout is only, it's only fair play. Yeah.
Is Matt Boothman inherently evil?
Essays on my desk.
Just be one word, yes.
Anybody got any questions for each other or for me about anything that went on this session or anything that you are excited to sort of revisit in future things?
The eternal question, Matt. Did it go as you expected?
I wanted this to be a get on the ghost train and go see some other realms one. And I sort of found myself dismayed at a certain point where it seemed like you were just going to go back to the depot and we weren't going to see more of those areas. And then you, Chris, gave me the great idea in a break off air that maybe Clarissa and Milton have relocated their operation out of the depot so we don't have to go back there. So it was great. Put everything that needs to be done in one place. Yeah. That was fine. There was a possible world where, like, you chatted to some people on the train and realised that the ghouls were off doing the abducting to fill the typing pool from all these other realms. And so you could have potentially, like, visited some of those other realms to get leads. So
okay,
I have
right.
plans, all of those are visitable, the Sunlit Uplands, Blighty, Albion, Inferno, all of those places are possible places that you can go, and there were ways that you could have ended up like meeting the Harlequin and packs of kidnappy ghouls in those places
and fighting
them there and having a slightly more slightly different kind of battle.
Yeah.
But I think it was great that we had this like extraction mission.
Yeah, it was great.
Which, again, like the ritual to separate Clarissa and Milton came completely out of play at the table. That wasn't something I had plans
for.
Oh,
really?
So, you know, finding that out and having that be the mission was great. Couldn't have predicted that.
I mean, I kept forgetting it.
Yeah.
But Graham would.
Yeah. Again, there was a possibility where you did stop off at Inferno. Like, it would have been difficult for Cam and Jess to visit, but you could have, Graham could have made a stop.
Every time you say it, I just think you're about to say Infernos. Yeah. Just gonna go to stop off in Kingston.
I mean, you
expect some vodka
you sort of effect it, like Fairyland's not far away.
Yeah, true.
Yes.
As it turns out, Infernos, for our American listeners or anybody outside London, is a notorious London club where you go to pull.
Yeah, yeah.
It has no other purpose.
No, it's just a hellhole.
I used to go there for to read my book.
Did you?
Yeah.
Mm. Did you get much read?
Well, quite a lot. No. It's a nice quiet spot in the corner.
So right at the end, where Cam and I have not appeared. Didn't Cam have Clarissa over his shoulder?
Oh, he did, didn't he?
Yeah.
Is she wherever we are?
Maybe I should have done a role for Clarissa. I think if Clarissa's not conscious and like not leaving Fairyland of her own volition, I think she just goes with you.
Cool. Five. Just wondered.
So we've ruined three lives today.
At least you haven't left her in the oubliette.
Yeah.
Which was one of our plans.
And this is like... the emission effect's full gone. It's not just on the fritz anymore.
Oh.
It's gone.
Everyone remembers everything.
Which is good, right?
That's
I don't know.
Big consequences. And as we've established, Doom are probably not going to be happy about that.
They're coming for us, guys. They're coming for us.
And possibly the Fae aren't either, because, you know, they clearly
sanctioned everything.
They sanctioned Clarissa and Milton's operation enough to give them space in Fairyland and to lend them their hunting hounds. So there's obviously some collusion.
But then he didn't seem too sad that I killed. But then Lord Fancy Pants didn't seem too sad that I killed.
That's true. Their prize hound.
Yeah.
Maybe that just showed that, you know, you've proven yourself a worthy hunter.
Mm. Maybe.
Should they wish to, I mean, the invitation stands.
It does, and I think Cameron's going to ignore the invitation.
Well, will the invitation still stand at whatever point Cameron pops back into existence?
Oh, God. Just as the apocalypse begins.
That opens an interesting possibility of a session where we have the two of you, Chris and Ellen, and somebody else playing Clarissa, potentially.
Ooh.
But, yeah, we'll leave that. We'll leave that for another time. We don't know if that'll happen.
Are we doing stars at all?
If you'd like to award some stars for moments that you thought were amazing, then go for it.
It's hard to pick, but just personally, I would like to give a star to Chris for the moment that you turned on Tom, though it made that a shit happen, was really interesting to see. I'd never thought about your perspective of what Tom's kind of behaviour, whether it's his fault or not, would mean to you and how that you would view it. I just thought it was really cool and out of nowhere.
Second that. It never occurred to me how those two characters would interact either, and in retrospect, obviously it would push Cam's buttons.
So I had a plan actually about Tom. It came to me actually, I was just walking the dog yesterday, and I thought, if we are going on this train, he's going to meet Tom, he's going to absolutely hate Tom. So what's he going to do? And I actually had a plan that if we survived the mission, the epilogue would be Cameron calling the train and kidnapping Tom and hog tying him and leaving outside the pub with a note saying family first.
Wow.
What could have been?
That was going to be my plan with Cam.
Wow.
Yeah, that was ace.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean, it may take forcible deprogramming to sort Tom out, but Cameron's not in a position to do it right now.
No way. I don't think he would now anyway.
A star for me was definitely the interaction between the Harlequin and Cameron. I don't think I've seen anything get that emotional at any sort of tabletop role-playing session ever. Mm. So that was just a real moment of, whoa, okay, this has got serious.
It's pretty intense, not going to lie.
Yeah. I mean, that was evident.
Cheers, man.
Really good.
For our lovely audience's information, we did take breaks during that. It wasn't like all back to back. And also, we are all going for drinks and dinner after this decompress, which I fully recommend after any kind of intense emotional tabletop role-playing session.
Yep. Mm.
But you guys took such good care of each other during that. It was actually really lovely. Mm. It was like, I don't know how you guys felt about it.
We've played a lot of games together, so I think we kind of...
Yeah, because I do worry, and I do strive, and it's got, we've said right from the very beginning of Merely Role Players that we are here to have fun, and that is the primary thing, and if we're not having fun, then we shouldn't be doing it. So if it's the kind of stepping outside of yourself and playing the character and, fun, cathartic, going through those emotions, then that's all good. It's obviously when it starts to bleed over and it starts to actually hurt your real person heart, then obviously we need to be very careful with each other.
Yeah,
it was amazing. I think probably one of the best bits of role playing I've ever done personally.
And your full commitment to that is incredible.
It was awesome. Yeah, so thanks for setting up and letting them just roll with it and go with it. Definitely stars for Fairyland in general. Loved it. Loved the image. This was not expecting to be like a 90s barn rave, but with crystalline floating palaces.
But with the execution. That was not covered, literally. It was just like, oh, there's an execution pit. What?
And then Cameron just went, oh, okay, can I get healed, please? Yeah. I'll do something about this.
Fuck.
I don't know whether this will have landed for you in the moment or whether any of our lovely audience will have picked up on it, but does anybody have any thoughts about why somebody involved with the hunt might have been cutting heads off?
Oh, they need a new huntsman.
They gotta get a new outrider from somewhere.
Oh,
they need a new headless horseman, man.
Oh, man.
They've just been like, chop, nah. Yeah. Chop,
This one didn't survive.
I knew I should have killed that
shit. Holy shit.
No, I did not realise that. Because though, if there was a potential, there was like a world where you got to Fairyland earlier in the mystery, right. And in that case, I probably wouldn't have had the ghoul there right then.
Sure.
It would have been almost like a your princess is in another castle.
Sure, thing, yeah.
Where like you might have met Trelane or Sharrock, and they'd have been like, oh no, that ghoul's not here because they're out on loan, like kidnapping people from other realms. And you might have had a thing where it was like, oh, we'll tell you, we'll send you straight to him if you help us, like, cut some heads off.
Oh, God. Well, no.
So you avoided that at least.
I think the train section was actually my favourite part of the whole thing. I thought that was all just so fantastic.
It was high octane.
Yeah, right. It was just mental.
Unexpectedly.
And
fun. Yeah. A bad role can do that sometimes.
I loved Jess talking Cam down. I thought that speech was brilliant.
Yep.
I loved
Graham and Ernie, I thought was great.
I thought that was brilliant. I thought there's loads of little bits in the train that were just really...
You snapping the gun in half.
Yes.
What an opening move.
Brilliant.
It was awesome. The train section I thought was just fantastic.
That, again, you know, there was a version of this where Ernie was sort of off on his own and got himself into trouble. And, like, the fight... One way the big fight could have gone was the Harlequin... not attacking Cam directly, but harming you by hurting Ernie.
Oh.
Was a possible interaction that could have happened. But sometimes these things don't go that way, and that was all good for you. And good magic, awesome. Good use of magic from Graham. You did so much magic.
Yeah. So much. Yeah. Like, so much more than... Because I've always been alongside other people who are better at it. I'm always letting them do it, and I'm just hitting stuff. But this time I was like...
We were like, we need some magic. Yeah. And just both look at you like, yeah.
Super creative uses of it as well.
Yeah,
just be
awesome.
Like, can I do this as magic? Yeah, why not?
Can I get rid of this? How about this? Yeah, no, it's good. I enjoyed that.
Fantastic.
It was great.
Magical,
the whole thing was
magical, Graham.
And it's my favourite I've been a part of so far.
Oh, that's
without a shadow.
That's good.
Yeah.
We want to be getting better and better.
Mm. Certainly the most tiring one I've been part of.
Yeah.
I think Cold Snap, because it was the first one, it just has, and it was so silly.
Like the big epic cinematic team fight that caps that one off is like some of the best kind of like narrative combat we've done, I think. Like this one was a bit more fragmented, but
playing on the table though, like I don't think it would have rung anywhere near as true if we were doing that remotely, like we were doing Cold Snap.
Some of those emotional moments would have been so much more difficult.
It
just lost.
Yeah. It would have happened.
And so much harder to check in and make sure that everyone's still having a good time in that circumstance as well. Yeah, I don't think I'd have hit those buttons as hard if we'd been remote today.
Yeah, well, I don't think you'd be able to either.
No.
Like, just that distance. So, yeah, amazing being back at the table. Although this is my second time doing it at the table for Vigil. But, yeah, just awesome.
Here's to some more. I won't say many more because the apocalypse is approaching.
Oh.
We'll all be back on the stage again at some point.
Definitely.
Yep. Absolutely.
Until then. Alexander Pankhurst as Graham. I'm Matt Boothman and I play the supporting cast. Editing and sound design by me, and the theme music is by Alexander Pankhurst. We were playing Monster of the Week, a role-playing game by Michael Sands, published by Evil Hat Productions. You can find Monster of the Week at genericgames.co.nz. Merely Role Players is a Foggy Outline production in association with Blackshaw Theatre Company. Until next time, if drama be the food of life, play on.